Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Psalm 97 verse 1 says, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad." Again, the Lord reigns. That was the truth yesterday, the truth today, and will forever be the truth. The Lord reigns. It is the Lord who is in control. He is the one who is the creator of all things. He is the one who knows all things. He is the one who loves like no other. Let the whole earth rejoice. It is a privilege to be able to share from God's word on today in the book of Acts. The title of today's message is The First Christian Fellowship. My scriptures of focus will be Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Before the message, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you all glory and praise. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you for your peace, which surpasses all understanding. We come now asking for your mercy. We're asking for you to help us as we look through your holy word. Help us to listen, to learn, and to apply the truths that we will read on today. Continue to bless our time here. We give you thanks and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we continue on the journey through the book of Acts, looking at the history of the early church. Acts is such a precious book for the life of the church. For me, this book has been extremely helpful in order to give me a model of what a healthy church looks like as I embark with others in the planting of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. The book of Acts is so rich with information that we must learn and apply as we strive to biblically align ourselves with the model that the early church provides us. Today, as we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, in these few verses, it highlights for us a model of what a healthy church looks like. That is a question that is often on my mind. What does a healthy church look like? What does it look like to be a church that glorifies the Lord? In this text we have before us, we have that blueprint. In the text, we will see three key principles that we must understand that makes up a healthy church. Number one, we will see that a healthy church must have strong biblical foundations. Number two, we will see that a healthy church must possess biblical characteristics. And three, if those biblical foundations and characteristics are present, we will see that a healthy church is blessed by the Lord abundantly. Before we get to the scripture text for today, let me do a recap of what we have studied so far. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, we looked at the main idea of what it means to be an effective witness of Jesus. Specifically, verse 8. You were encouraged to circle, to underline, or to highlight, because that was the main idea of that particular group of scriptures. But it's also the main theme if you look at the book of Acts as a whole. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Some principles we discussed from verses 1 through 11 is that to be an effective witness for Jesus, you must be confident that your faith is built on fact, that you must operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you must focus on the mission of sharing the good news of Jesus always. Then we looked at Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 26, when the disciples returned to Jerusalem. There we saw how biblical selection of leaders is essential through the church's effectiveness of being witnesses of Jesus. In the selection of Matthias and adding him to the number of the apostles, some principles that were discussed from the scripture of how to biblically select leaders include: 1. Select leaders within a culture of prayer. 2. Select leaders within the context of scripture. And 3. Select leaders that have been chosen by God. And as we move to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, at the day of Pentecost, it was shown in the importance of how believers must submit to the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of Jesus. In those verses, it was shared how the power of the Holy Spirit makes his presence clear, how the presence of the Holy Spirit produces worship, and how the work of the Holy Spirit will invoke a response. In addition, we saw that although the presence of the Holy Spirit will produce some amazing evidence in which some will marvel at, but we also saw how some still mocked at the power of the Holy Spirit. Continue in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41, the record of Peter's sermon. Peter shared with the people in Jerusalem. He boldly proclaimed the truth about the birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, calling people to repent of their sins and to be baptized. As a result of this powerful sermon by Peter, many gladly received what was said and believed, and many were baptized. We're told that about 3,000 people joined the faith on that day. That is amazing. 3,000 people. Which brings us to our text today. Now that the church has added an additional 3,000 people who are new to the faith, what did they do? Just looking at the number of the original 120 or so that were already part of the faith, saying that the church grew quickly is somewhat of an understatement. It multiplied many times over, which goes to show you that there's no limitations to what God chooses to do. So what did they do? With all that growth, the church must have had to make some drastic changes. That is understandable for us to make that assumption, but that is not the case at all. They continued to do what they always did, and that is why I believe this text provides us the blueprint of what a healthy church looks like. Reading from the New King James Version, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Again, these verses, we will see that a healthy church must have strong biblical foundations. A healthy church must possess biblical characteristics. And a healthy church is blessed by the Lord abundantly. In verse 42, it says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." If we are to follow the model of the first church, here are four foundations that must be embedded in the culture of the church. I will give you the four foundations, and then I will discuss them briefly. Now, I say briefly only due to the time space that we have today. But as I was looking at this and looking at all that goes into cultivating a healthy church, I can easily see how this verse 42 alone, and definitely the collective verses up to verse 47, can be an entire sermon series on its own, because it is so packed with fundamentals to know and practical things to put into play. Anyhow, looking at verse 42 alone, we see that foundationally, a healthy church must have sound doctrine. Two, foundationally, a healthy church must have fellowship. Three, foundationally, a healthy church must have the breaking of bread. And fourth, a healthy church must be rooted in prayer. The four foundations: sound doctrine, which means sound teaching, must be fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer, laid out for us here in verse 42. Verse 42 says that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This group of believers continued day in and day out consistently, listening and learning from the apostles as they taught. These apostles, these who were sent, the original 11 that was chosen by Jesus when he first began his ministry on earth, and also Matthias, who was included, who was added among the number of the apostles. The teachings were so important from the apostles. You have to remember, these were the very people who were at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach, watching him apply what he taught. There is no doubt of the doctrine or the teaching that was constantly shared. The words of scripture from the law and the prophets, and also of the firsthand accounts of all that Jesus began to do in his earthly ministry while he was among them. We don't have to speculate or look far. If we just simply look back a few verses and look at what Peter said in verse 14 through 41 of Acts chapter 2, we can be very confident that this was a universal message shared among the apostles to the people. Secondly, we see in verse 42 that they continue steadfastly in fellowship. Now, when I think about fellowship and how we often use it in our context, it has to deal with some type of gathering. Oftentimes, this gathering includes food. Sometimes how we present it can simply mean hanging out together, building relationships with people, Looking at the original Greek text of the word, this word fellowship means to be in partnership or to have something in common. To be in partnership or to be on one accord and one mission and purpose. So in other words, the early church continued steadfastly to be connected physically, to be among another and presence. But on a deeper level, they were on one accord spiritually, especially since they believed in the same doctrine. But they were connected because of the spiritual mission that needed to be accomplished. They were on one accord to learn and grow together, as well as to worship God together. Thirdly, we're told that they continued in breaking of bread. Now, we must think about this. There were people who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Pentecost. These people had come from far and near. We are told that the believers spent a lot of time sharing meals with one another. I also must bring up that this act of breaking bread in church history and Jewish tradition, that during the regular gathering of meals, it is included at some point the partaking of the Lord's Supper, also known as communion. This communion provided a regular time in which they remembered the work of Jesus on the cross and the new covenant that they were now under, as well as ourselves are now under because of his blood. Lastly, what we see in this text of the foundations that must be in the culture of a healthy church is prayer. Prayer was important then and still is important now. Prayer allows us to communicate to our Almighty Heavenly Father, to pour out our hearts to Him, to cry out to Him, to petition to Him, to adore Him, to thank Him, to confess our sins to Him, as well as intercede on behalf of others to Him. But also prayers allow us, most importantly, to quietly hear from God. Prayers are so important in sitting and listening to God and what He wants us to do collectively as well as individually. The importance of prayer and the people who make prayer a lifestyle is shown all throughout the Bible. Jesus prayed, and He taught His disciples to pray. These apostles, as well as the other believers, since the beginning, even after Jesus had ascended into heaven, has been praying rather consistently. Now, this large group of new believers prayed also. Verse 42 is so important for us in the church culture today. We must be steadfast and resolved not to budge on these foundational principles that must be embedded in the life of the church. The foundation of sound teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. Looking at verse 43 through 47, we will see that in addition to the foundational principles that must be deeply rooted in the culture of the church, a healthy church must possess some biblical characteristics. Specifically, in verses 43 through 47, we see the characteristics of reverencing God, being empowered by God, loving and caring for one another, being faithful among the fellowship, being joy-filled and content, and worshiping and praising God. Verse 43 says, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." Verse 43 says, "And fear came upon every soul." Here, this fear refers to reverential fear. The importance of reverential fear is echoed all throughout the Bible. To reverence means to have a deep respect, to have an awe, to honor God, to reflect humility, to worship God, acknowledging His characteristics. His characteristics such as being holy, being all-knowing, always being present everywhere, all-loving, merciful, full of grace. Each person had a deep reverence for God and His commands. Another characteristic of a healthy church is being empowered by God. Also in verse 43, we see that there were many wonders and signs that were done through the apostles. We don't know all of the many wonders and signs that were done through the apostles, but we don't have to look far in Acts to see what type of wonders and signs that were done. Just look back at the beginning of chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, at the day of Pentecost, where the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and was given the ability to praise God in languages of the many people that represented the nations that were present. Also, you can see how the apostles were empowered by God in the next set of verses in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John with the account of healing the man who was lame. There is evidence of the many signs and wonders. In verse 44 and 45, we see that there must be some loving and caring for one another, as well as being faithful to the fellowship. It says that now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. Now, what does this in common mean? Were they from the same places? Did they look the same? Did they have the same family background? No, they did not. In fact, they were very different in almost every way. However, what matters most is what they had in common. They had a common faith. They were on one accord. They had fellowship. Now, I do have to spend a moment on what this verse does not mean. Unfortunately, there are some people in churches who falsely teach and require that their members sell their possessions in order to be accepted into heaven, to continue to receive great blessings from God. In fact, there is a church in South Korea who is currently being investigated by its government for extorting their members and taking their private property. This church uses very scripture in verse 45 to justify them requiring their members to give all their personal property and other items of value to the church, oftentimes leaving these individuals in extreme poverty. This is not what this verse teaches, nor does it teach that communism is okay or even justifies the implementation of socialism in any case. The point of the matter and what we must take to heart from verse 45 is that the believers sold their possessions as their fellow brothers and sisters in faith had need. In other words, people gave generously out of love because the church was full of love and had great fellowship with one another. No one wanted to see another in the faith to be lacking in nothing. This is the generous attitude that is stressed in the verse. This is the generous attitude that the church needs today. Continuing in verse 46 and 47, it says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God." This highlights the believers being faithful. In addition to being faithful, they were joy-filled and resilient and keeping the praise and worship of God priority. Let us not gaze over this part in verse 46. That said, they continued daily, not occasionally, not weekly, not sometimes, but daily. This shows that they were committed to the fellowship. I believe what the scripture shows here, that is, if the foundation of the church is strong, having a culture that is rooted in sound teaching and fellowship, that is being on one accord, consistently practicing the breaking of bread, which is communion, and continuing steadfastly in prayer, then biblical characteristics such as faithfulness, seeking fellowship, loving and caring for one another, joy, praise and worship, signs and wonders, as well as reverence, these characteristics will be birthed out of those foundations. Lastly, as we look at the remaining part of verse 47, tying it all in, we find out our third principle as a result of a healthy church with healthy foundations displaying healthy characteristics. It is, as a result, we will see that a healthy church will be blessed abundantly by the Lord. Verse 47 says that the new church was having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord blessed their witness. There were so many new things going on, and there were so many people present. They saw some different things, things that were not regular. Quite frankly, things that were strange. They were constantly hearing joyful people talking about Jesus, preaching about Jesus, striving to live like Jesus through their love and care, and they were resilient in their faith. Because of their faithfulness to the Lord, he blessed them by adding more to the church daily. The more that was added, the better they were blessed because the family grew in number, and the more you have on one accord, caring, and loving. It was a beautiful thing. Now, for the application. It is good to read this, but how do you put what we see here in verses 42 through 47 into practice? How do we apply these principles in our lives, as well as the church as a whole? Application of foundation number one, sound doctrine. We must have leaders that are committed to studying themselves approved and working hard to teach clearly sound doctrine so that the people are encouraged, equipped, and corrected as necessary to do the work of the ministry. Leaders must commit themselves to studying and working hard to be sound in their doctrine. Also, each person must commit themselves to growing in sound doctrine. Each person must make an intentional effort to grow in God's truth, which is found in the Bible. You must pray and ask God to show you what his words mean and how he wants you to apply it in your lives. Application number two, fellowship. We must work hard to remain in fellowship with one another in order to be effective in accomplishing the mission. Communicating what the mission is, looking at the scripture, studying the mission that God gives us. Individually, how do you need to get on one accord? What things will be more helpful? What decisions do you need to make in order to be on one accord with your fellow brothers and sisters? Application number three, the breaking of bread. As far as regularly eating, sharing with one another, breaking bread, having meals together. But most importantly, there has to be an implementation of regularly partaking of communion. Communion is important to provide that space that we can collectively come together, acknowledging our sins so that we can be purified individually, but also collectively being purified as the church. Application number four, as far as prayer, every church must have a strong culture of prayer. Churches can do this by having church prayer calendars where members can pray for one another. Prayer meetings must be a regular, and participating in prayer walks, which can be all a great blessing. But definitely each individual consistently praying day in and day out in their own homes with their families. I do have to make it known that there is no such thing as a perfect church. Again, there is no such thing as a perfect church. This is because there are imperfect people that make up the church. However, each member of the church should continuously strive to live a holy and righteous life. There may be some who may be listening who may have been hurt in a terrible way by the church. I don't know what your story is, but I am confident that there are many healthy churches that are committed to living by the word of God. So if you have been hurt by our church, don't let that experience negatively impact your ability and growing in your relationship with God. These verses here in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, gives us a blueprint of what a healthy church should look like. In this text, we see that a healthy church has a strong biblical foundation. We see that a healthy church possesses biblical characteristics. And if those biblical foundations and characteristics are present, we will see that a healthy church is blessed by the Lord abundantly. To be a healthy church, as we discussed, does require a foundation. But you must recognize that the foundation of the church is Jesus. That is because we are told in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord. We must make Jesus the foundation of our life. We do that by making Jesus our Lord and making him our Savior. To make him Lord recognizes him as King and his rule reigns. To make him Savior is to acknowledge that you are a sinner that is in need of a Savior. This is because you believe that the price that must be paid for your sins, the price that requires death, the spiritual separation, and eternal separation in hell without the Father. And we cannot pay that price. So you must accept that God, who is holy and just, will punish you for your sins. He is the one and the same that is also full of mercy and love, and sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and to have his blood shed on the cross to provide you an opportunity and for me, for anyone who believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth, acknowledging his work on the cross for the salvation of our sins. For us to have a healthy church, we must first be healthy ourselves. And for us to be truly healthy, we must have Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our lives. We must surrender ourselves to him. That is the question today. Will you surrender your life to Jesus? Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for this time that you have given us on today. Thank you for wisdom that is found in your holy word. Thank you for showing us in the Bible what a healthy church looks like. I pray that all that was said is pleasing to you. Pray we have been encouraged and challenged by this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, church planner of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, or have decided to make Jesus Lord of your life, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings or at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in His Word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessing be upon you and your family.